Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. Surviving in today's world requires that we learn how to juggle tasks efficiently. There are many things vying for our attention which center on our family, work, and relationships. We have to learn how to balance these priorities while also maximizing our potential. Niels Duenker, my guest today, has mastered the art of juggling, both literally and metaphorically. Niels is an accomplished master juggler who has achieved an international career with shows from Amsterdam to Las Vegas. He is a two-time Variety Performer of the Year and three-time Guinness World Book Records holder. Through his act, workshops, and his book, Catching Greatness, Neil aims to motivate people to take action on their dreams. During my conversation with him in this episode, he inspires us with his success story of how he learned to overcome obstacles such as negativity, fear, and common distractions, and how we can do the same in our own life. Hey, Niels, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, I have to say that you have such a fun and exciting profession, and I'm excited to learn more about what you do and the lessons that your journey in the performing arts has taught you about yourself and life. So really great to have you here today.
Let's dive in.
Great. So I'd like to start our conversation with a question about your early beginnings. When did you first realize?
Okay.
When did you first realize that you have a passion for juggling, and what prompted you to turn your hobby into your profession?
Okay. So first of all, your readers will hear that I have an accent. So my accent is from the Netherlands. I grew up in the Netherlands.
Okay.
And now for 3 years, I've been performing with my juggling in Tennessee. So I'm doing 500 shows a year here. I started juggling when I was 12. I started practicing every day. When I was 8, I tried for the first time, but then I didn't know how to do it. Like, if you don't know how to juggle, it's very complicated. If you know how to juggle, it becomes a lot easier. But when I was 8, I already knew that I had a passion for it. My dad took me to the annual street performing festival in Rotterdam, in the Netherlands, and I saw the performers there and I thought it was amazing and it looked so much fun. So I went home and started trying it. But like after 2 days, I didn't know any more tricks that I can come up with myself. But always from a young age, I really liked throwing balls, aiming them with a certain precision and the rhythm of it. So juggling had all that stuff in it. So I thought, oh, it's going to be so fun if I can try to juggle. But then when I was 12, there was a bit of a hype in the Netherlands. So like there were some stores carried some juggling props, some books. So then I got a hold of that one. And then I started with the books. I started practicing all the time. And then it was actually so much fun as I imagined. And now more than 20 years later, I'm still practicing every day.
Wow. So you had a passion for juggling since you were young.
Yeah, it was more like with juggling, there's so many aspects to it. Like even now, of course, now I do it professionally. So besides the marketing, the stage persona, structuring your show, those are some elements of the juggling that I have now. But just the practicing itself, it's really cool. Like some people do it for meditation. Some people do it to entertain people. For some people, it's a hobby. For some people, it's kind of like a form of fitness. So there's so many different directions you can take juggling. And for me, what I really like is like you're not battling against somebody. I did judo before. And I really like that too. But with juggling, it's really like just a challenge for yourself. Every time you can get better, even a certain trick, you can always come up with a more difficult version. And then it's your own discipline and your own practice ethics and your own concentration. So all the stuff that you like internally, like that you have to straighten out and get sorted right to get a trick. So if you have more discipline, you practice more. If you practice more, you can nail the trick. So it's really fun to see that progress for yourself. It's probably the same why some people like certain sports like tennis or anything. Like it's you feel the progress and you get better at it just by your own discipline and practice.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to that. For me, it's writing, and really it's really about a skill set, right, that you have to build and you just have to keep practicing. That I think that's really key. But I think that you have to have an interest in it, and you have to have this natural, I don't know, this knack for it. And it seems like you had that knack for juggling and you were able to take it to the next level.
Yeah, always with juggling. In my opinion, everybody can learn how to juggle. Just a matter of putting the time in.
That was bad.
for a lot of people. Well, like it's also very often, in the beginning when I was 8, I did not know how to do it. And very often it's just one or two pieces of information that are lacking. And if you don't have that, it becomes very discouraging pretty quickly because you don't know what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
And you don't know how to progress. Like I do juggling workshops for corporate events. And also during intermission, I teach the kids how to juggle. And when you give them the right pointers, like very quickly, I think everybody within 1 or 2 hours, everybody can learn how to juggle 3 balls. It's just that you need the proper guidance. And if you have that, you can make progress real quick. But like for people to continue juggling or not, it's like you have to find a passion for something. And then it's a matter of putting in the time. Like same with writing. A lot of people, if you don't have that you can sit down and just focus on the thing you're working on. Without distractions, I think that especially with writing, that's the most difficult part, just to fight against yourself while you're looking at the computer screen and just sit down and have the persistence to keep working and just proofreading and keep working on your scripts. If you have that skill set that you can sit down and can do, then you can be a writer. If you lack that, then you cannot be a writer. Same with juggling. If you don't, I like to go to the gym and practice, because only through practice you get better at any activity.
Exactly. And I think it's about getting into that zone and really liking being in that zone. When I start writing and I get in the zone, I can just, you know, continue doing it and I get lost. And I'm sure that you feel the same way with juggling.
Yes, it's especially when I started out, you see all the progress with all the tricks. And now juggling as a hobby or juggling professionally, there are different aspects to it. Right now, I get a lot of the encouragement to keep going with what I'm doing through the audience. Like for example, today I'm doing 2 shows. Mm-hmm. So and the theater is really big. So I think today it's sold out. So we have 700 or 800 people per show.
Nice.
So when you make them laugh and you entertain those people, then it's just sharing the joy and you get that joy back. And it's a good motivation to keep going because it's pretty awesome to make so many people happy today.
So just going back to the early beginnings, when you decided to start juggling for a living, I'm sure that you may have faced some opposition and criticism from the people around you. What advice do you have for anyone facing a similar situation where, you know, they want to pursue a certain dream, but others don't really support them? What advice would you do you have?
Okay. So for me, it went very gradual to go from juggling as a hobby to juggling professionally. So the first show that I did, so I started practicing all the time when I was 12 years old. And then one of my neighbors, they had a party and I was 13 years old. And they asked me, hey, you want to perform at the party? So I said yes. And then they paid me $10. And for me, that was a lot of money. It was my first gig ever. So I was like, oh, that's fun. And then some other people were at the party and they asked me over.
How old were you?
And it just snowballed. I was 13 when I did the first show by myself.
That's young, yeah.
And then I started doing street performing. So it took me it was a path of 10 years that I was still, you know, in school and I did college. And by the time I finished college, I've been performing for 10 years and it just grew and grew. And every time I was like, okay, it's still fun. And then I have this challenge and then I have this new opportunity. So it was good. I had a period of 10 years to go from being pure hobbyist to start doing it full time. But regarding, of course, you have all the struggles along the way. I think the most difficult thing with a lot of people that are facing is the stereotypes from other people. The problem is when people judge you on a stereotype. Very often they have like incomplete information. Same with juggling. Like a lot of people think about a street performer or a clown or a kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
What I'm doing right now is like the gig that I'm doing right now. It's the longest running clean comedy variety show in the United States. Like it's a big theater. So when people hear juggler, they don't think about a contract like this. They don't even know that it exists. The same before working here, I worked on cruise ships. I was a headliner on board on all the major American cruise lines.
Mm-hmm.
And there I do like a 45-minute show, like on a luxury cruise line with like, so people, when they hear the word juggler, they don't think that. They think about some clown that is, maybe doesn't have a lot of promo material. They see it like a part-time, works in a shopping mall. That's the thing. And then also that could be a great life too, but they don't know. They just see this guy and it's like, oh God, I don't want to be my life to be like that. So they portray their values on somebody else and then they judge somebody else's situation.
Your family, your friends, were they supportive of you? Did they have these stereotypes in their mind?
Well, in the beginning, they have that. But then because it was like a 10-year process for me to go to a full-time professional, they were growing along with me.
Oh, good.
And my closest friends, they know what I'm up to. And also, I mean, if they don't have the patience to really understand what I'm doing, they're not really my closest friends. Like my closest friends, like Hank, so I was with him in high school all the way. And then like his passion was building websites, for example. But he didn't have a topic to build a website for. So he built me when I was like 13 or 14. He built me my first website. And then also he got the feedback. He saw this, what I was doing with it. So he was growing along through that process. So he understood what I was doing. And that it was also not what other people think. So it's good. Like if you have a tight group of some people that really understand what you're doing, so they judge it by, I always look how the situation, like this is what I want. Like for example, right now I'm very happy to be in Tennessee. Like I'm like being in one spot. I go to the theater where I have a group of fellow performers. They're my colleagues. We share the show, we share the daily trouble that everybody has in their lives. And it's so much fun. Like after being on the road for 8 years, it's a great change. But like even the show, like where I'm working now, like a lot of people, the costumes of the show, everybody wear overalls. So then you have the stereotypes from other performers. They go, oh gosh, I don't want to be in the south of the US. I don't want to work in overalls. Like I have this glittery costumes. I work fancy places. I don't work in overall. But then, so they don't know too. They portray their situation on my situation and they don't know. Like it's great. I love my colleagues. I love being in this one spot. The people are very friendly. Mm-hmm. And there's so many elements in this job that I love that line up with my goals in life. And then there's a couple things, like maybe the overalls right now, they don't bother me in the beginning. You need to get used to them. And you go, all right. But like the world was never perfect. And it's like, this is a very little thing for all the other great things that are in the situation.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's a very good attitude. So based on your story, it seems like mentors played a really key role in your life and in contributing to your success. Why do you think that having mentors is so critical to succeeding in a certain profession based on your experience?
Okay. So yeah, so the juggling professionally, it's very unique. Not a lot of people do it. Like, if you go to a regular school, there's no formal education that prepares you for this job, but there are other performers that are older, have walked the path. And so basically I've very lucky that I've become some friends with some guys that I look up to, my previous these idols. Now I'm friends with them, so that's already amazing. And I'm really inspired by a career. That's what they were doing inspired me to do the same thing. And so if you think about the career as a path, or life as a path, they walk that path, or at least they walked certain portions of that path. Like maybe when I did the cruise ships, guys that have been doing cruise ships for a long time, that part of the path, they walked it and they can show me okay, here's a pitfall. Here's a crack in the road. Don't do this. So I can get a lot further with their help because they point out all the mistakes instead of twisting my ankle on that piece of bad road on that path. Like they, it's like, okay, take a bigger step right here. And then, so it's just great. It's like a teacher and they can show you the the dangers, like the possibilities, and you get a lot further. And it's also more fun. Like if you have to find out a path and you're struggling on the path by yourself, or you can walk that piece of path with a friend or like a mentor, it's a lot more enjoyable and you get a lot further.
Right, right. Yeah. And in your book, Catching Greatness, which is, by the way, a great title, you talk about mentors, but you also list mental, emotional, and physical character traits, which you believe are essential to living a life of success. Could you briefly describe some of them to us?
Yeah. So for me, like reaching success, like it's reaching the goals that you set for yourself. So those are your goals. It's not somebody else's goals. Like, because most people don't know what's going on in your life, what you want. So the same, like a juggler from the Netherlands now working in overalls in the south of the US, it's very uncommon. Like, yes. I'm the only one in the world that does that. But for me, this situation makes perfect sense because, like, I would say 95% of all the goals that I have for my life right now, I can fulfill them right here. So, but just to get to set up the situation around you, so you have all those things in your life for the goals that you want to reach. Yeah, it doesn't come by itself. It's something that you need to go after, and you need to kind of wiggle your way into that situation. So sometimes you need to convince this person, then you need to earn the trust of this person. So like, there's so much get thrown at you, and it could be very overwhelming to set up that situation of life for you to achieve your goals. So you need to be like a rock in the river. Is all the hassle that gets thrown at you.
Yes.
And you need to be like a rock in that river so you stay grounded, because otherwise somebody else's opinion pushes you away from the good stuff that you're trying to reach. And so you need character traits to stay sturdy and to stay strong. And yeah, I think those character traits is the only way, like if life pushes you back and forth, that can keep you strong.
I totally agree with you, especially when you're doing something unconventional, something in the field of art, where the road is not very, it's not very well set out. Like, unlike a doctor or a lawyer, where it's like you go to school and then you do internships and then you get on the professional path. But with an artistic career or something in the performing arts, it's a totally different story. You have to pave your own way, and you know, you just have to
create your own path.
You have to wing it, and you have to be creative and resourceful. So anyone who has some measure of success, or at least tries to make it in these kind of professions, I have a lot of respect for them.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. So now I'm going to ask you a question that I've always wanted to ask any performer who deals with potentially dangerous acts for a living. How did you get over your fear of juggling dangerous objects such as fire torches and knives at such a young age? Like, what did it teach you about your capacity to overcome your fears?
Okay. So like, I think, It's training. It's, even with juggling, it's a skill, it's a job. It's the same, like, if I would be, say, like, hypothetically, like, you'll have to operate. You're a surgeon, you have to operate on this person, it's sick. To me, that would be frightening because I don't know. I don't know where to start cutting. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But like a trained surgeon, he's like, okay, I'm going to do this, this, this. And then the patient survives and is even better at the end. The same as somebody that is not trained to juggle three knives on top of a 7-foot high unicycle, they're gonna break their leg. They're gonna hurt themselves. It's very dangerous.
Do you do that?
Oh, but like, I do that trick. Yeah, like I do that trick, and I do it in my shows too.
That's amazing.
But like for me, it's not. It doesn't frighten me because I know I can ride a unicycle. So I started with a low unicycle, then I went to a high unicycle, and then I learned to juggle the balls first. Then I learned to juggle the clubs. And from there on, I went to juggle the knives. And then I went on the high unicycle, and then I mimicked the motion of juggling on the high unicycle. Then I juggled three clubs on the high unicycle. Then I juggled three knives on the high unicycle. And then I had the trick. So it's a progression of little steps from something that is, I know that's in my skill set, to something that I need to train for. And then it becomes in my skill set. And every time just you raise the bar a little bit. And at the end, then I know that I have all the training and I know that I'm safe. And if you know you're safe, it's not as scary anymore because then the danger is not there anymore.
Yeah, but how did you convince yourself, like on an emotional level, that I'm going to be okay, that I'm not going to burn myself, I'm not going to cut off a finger? How did you
I knew that I could do the motion. Like I could do the thing with clubs, which is very similar to juggling knives or to juggle torches. It's very similar. You can only catch them at one side. They spin the same way. So I knew that I could do it. Then I knew that I could do it with torches that were not lit. And then I just take little steps and like, okay, the previous step, I know, and I can do it. So now I'm ready. I know that I'm ready for the next one. It's like, you know, like when you start driving, you check your car, the tires are good, the engine is good. So you go, okay, the car is safe, but Niels,
you're not telling fire and knives when you're driving.
Yes, but that's the same. Like, when you go on the highway and you drive 65 miles an hour, that can potentially kill you too. But you know that the road is good. You know that your car is good.
Yeah.
Then you go, okay, like if I just stay at home and I don't do anything, I'm not living life. So it's like, okay, right now I know that my preparations are good. My equipment is good. My skill set is good.
Yeah.
So now I'm just going to live life and I just take a plunge and, you know, hopefully I'm going to survive. Like, but that's part of life too.
Right. So it's all about preparation and kind of slowly inching out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. Like, and everything it's scary, but like at one point you have to start living too. And yeah, like, and it's also like everybody has their own comfort level. Like for a lot of people, like if you launch your first book, like it's scary too, but you go, okay, I'm just going to put it out there.
Oh yeah. I'll attest to that.
That's the same with
last year.
With this one. Yeah. You go, like, it's scary, but like everybody has their own comfort level too. And it's also, I mean, I think juggling torches, like it's still like, it is dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, but if you're careful and you have a fire extinguisher out there and all that stuff to limit the dangers, it becomes doable. But that's one of the great things too with the shells. Like it's people think, oh, they have no training today. They see the end result. They don't see all the steps in between. So it's awesome that a lot of people are so overwhelmed and impressed and scared by it, which just makes my job better. And also if people are not impressed by it, then I would not have a job as a professional jugger. So overall, it's good that people are so, yeah, look up to that trick so much.
Do you try to bring an inspirational element to your act? Because you have written this really nice book, you know, Catching Greatness. Do you try to incorporate some of that in your act?
Sometimes it's depending which venue I'm working. Like every venue that you work, mm-hmm. is a little bit different. Like, for example, if you work in a circus, the standard format is like a 7 to 9 minute act to mm-hmm. the music. So there it's not a fit.
Right.
When I do my own shows, I bring it in lightly. When I do, like when a corporation books me for my corporate juggling workshops, then it's part of what they request too. So then I will definitely bring it in. So it's just wherever the venue is, it's the match. And when I can, I bring it in. But, if sometimes the audience is not open for it because it's like, for example, like the Comedy Barn Theater where I work, it's not the place to do it, except during intermission when I do the juggling workshops and all the kids come up. I said, okay, if you know, like anything, like just like in school, every time you make it a little bit more difficult, and when you handle that step, you grow real quick. But you got to be practicing. Like if you don't practice, you don't. So it's incorporating like a bit of a good work ethic. Like it's also like depending which venue I work, mm-hmm. I can do it very lightly or just like or more deep. It's but yeah, it's great. Like I said, so many kids now too. That's came to me to juggle, and now one year later they come back, they have more self-confidence, they can juggle and have a new skill, and so I changed their life a little bit for the better. Some even are now performing themselves and spreading the joy among their friends and community. So it's really cool when you get the opportunity to do that, and our podcast like this one too, like it's good if you get to talk with this, and some even if one person gets something cool and inspiring and take it away from it, it's yeah, it's a blessing.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I would never have thought that something, you know, like juggling could be used as a platform for teaching these life lessons. And I think you've done a brilliant job at it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like a lot of people don't know. That's why it's also, like, it's sometimes like for the corporate workshops, it's a little bit more of a difficult sell because they don't see it. But then, like in the Netherlands, it's more common now and corporations know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they book them all the time because actually it's perfect. Like a lot of people, when they start, they don't think in 1 hour they can juggle three balls. So they can go from beginner to actually having success and doing it in 1 hour. But they have all the steps in it. So like, yeah, like failing, like you drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick it up, you try it again. So with juggling, it goes very quick. But like if you're in a office environment, you work on a project or you pitch it to a couple different clients and you go, oh, hurry, pitch it to five different clients. Nobody's interested. But then you try it the sixth time and boom, the client goes for it and you start going. And it becomes a reality. The same like when you juggle two balls, it's not that of a difficult trick if you have the right guidance. Within five or six tries, you can actually do that move. But if you stopped right before nailing it, because you just give up. So it's a good metaphor. Like
yeah, exactly. That's the exact word I was going to use. Juggling is a metaphor for life, really.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because a lot of people go, oh, I'm juggling too many projects in my life.
Yeah.
I need to drop one. And then they go, oh, or you just need a better pattern. Like, or you need to do this. Or like, there's so many things with juggling. Like with the juggling, you can hold the balls or the clubs in your hands like very short or longer. So there's different ways how you can do your tricks. Like a lot of people don't know that. But then if you talk with people and you show the juggling trick and you go, look, this is how I do it now. And also to you, it looks like a blur. But look at this ball. It goes from my left hand to my right hand. This is the way to do it. The same if your life is so overwhelming right now. Like recently I read a book, which was a great book, like Digital Minimalism. And it also showed like, okay, Facebook, Instagram, all this push notifications on your phone, it gets quite overwhelming and you feel like restless. But it shows you a structure, how you can change your dynamic with social media and with the internet that you get control about your life back. So it's almost like a juggling pattern, like to somebody else who doesn't know what is happening. It looks like a big blur and it's overwhelming. Especially some people, like, oh, that's a dangerous project. It could be a juggling knife or a flaming torch that's flying towards your face. Then if you see the structure again and you take a step back, then you go, okay, it's still a lot, but it's doable.
Right. Yeah. 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 I totally get that. Okay. So that brings us to the end of this very inspiring conversation. Niels, it's been a real pleasure to speak with you today. I really appreciate you being here and sharing your story with us.
You're very, very welcome. That was a lot of fun.
Before we part ways, could you please let everyone know where they can learn more about your performances and the other things that you offer?
Okay, so like my website is comedyjuggler.com so that people can watch my promo videos, see a little bit about my show, get a feel for what I did. Like for the juggling workshops, it's jugglingworkshop.com. And on that website, there's a video too. So if people want to learn how to juggle themselves, because it's a lot of fun, then go to that website or go to my YouTube channel, Niels Duinker, which is NielsDuinker. And the book that we spoke about, it's available from Amazon. It's called Catching Greatness, and it's written by me.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Niels. You have a wonderful day.
Cool. Thank you so much. That was a great conversation. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.